Amen. Can you do something for me before you sit down? Turn to somebody and say, Satan is a loser. Then turn to the other one and say, I don't hang around with losers. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I think you sent a message already. Amen. I really thank God for this church. And I want to acknowledge what God is doing in this church. I asked Pastor Brian on some issues that arise in the nation and who is addressing it. And to my surprise, there's only two churches that are doing that. And I was surprised by the churches that are not responding to whatever is happening. But this is the word of the Lord to me. I just felt I'll just say something relating to what is happening to the church. And by God's grace, I'll share something to just inspire us before I finish. God's church is the most powerful force on the planet Earth. There's nothing like that. It's even above. We had in the nation, there was some man of God that was confusing the nation with mixed up with politics and just trying to raise the standard of the church and make it like, they have three arm of the government, and he was trying to suggest that the church was the fourth arm of the government. So it was misleading a lot of things. I had to just rise and tell them that's not really true. Yeah. The church is far, 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 far more powerful, and its churches far exceed any organizations or anything on the planet Earth, even nations or governments. if we recognize what God has placed us on, we will actually change the course of events, course of nations, people, cities, and we are seeing some of this. And let me just share this with you quickly as I, by God's grace, allow me to share something that might just inspire us a little bit this morning. Psalms chapter 110, I think all of us know that passage, but let me just use that to and the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemy your footstool. And the Lord sent forth the rod of his strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies. Amen? Yeah. Rule in the midst of your enemies. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. And the strength of the Lord went forth from Zion. Zion is the church. You know, church is not something that it's trying to reach the destination. God has actually finished the church. God has completed what he has wanted to do, and it's outworking of that what he has already finished. And church is executing what God has already established. Amen? So church is a very powerful agency in the planet Earth and in every nation, in every community. This is why I believe what God is doing here, God's giving a special grace and special touch of God upon this church and the man of God that is the Father, not just, I believe, this city and the nation, but it's going to affect the region, and eventually you hear the voice cutting across the nations. Yes. Amen. Yes. I believe that. That's the grace and anointing coming upon the man of God that's raised in this region, and I'm thankful to be a part of that. Yes. Amen. Yes. But let me just, because one of the things that I took note of is that the empowering grace that came upon this church to be able to rise and challenge what was what was happening in this nation, and nobody seems to respond to that, the impact that was coming across this nation. So whenever you take a case to a court, and if the magistrate makes a decision, you can appeal that to a higher court. You can appeal the case to a higher court.
Yeah.
And the higher court considers everything and then makes the final decision.
Yes.
If we don't appeal the things that is we see that is in the nation that is not of God, then we have not really found our place and purpose of why God has placed us here. And that's why I really I want to honor what God has done through here, even this house to rise and begin to address some of the things that are happening in the nation. Because when you church has that incredible ability to appeal anything that seems to be. There's a force that is, you can sit back and just, sit. And there are some, really nice churches, big churches in the nation, but, there's no, they just let whatever is happening happen.
Yeah.
They just sound like they don't even exist. And so it was a real blessing. And from the angle that we are coming from, there's nothing that happens there which will not rise to speak to our voice and dismantle things that are happening.
Yeah.
Our country has gone through some difficult experiences, but when we noticed that it was not the way God wanted it, we rose up. We actually spoke and brought the whole thing down, and we reset the whole thing again. And so I believe that's a kind of anointing that God has raised in this house to rise up and in the position itself that way. So when things are not right, it requires us to appeal that case to a higher court. The final say to that, whatever is happening, is God.
Yes.
Yeah. He sees them, and we can appeal that. And Jesus is the head of the church. Yes. Amen?
Yeah.
Jesus is the head of the church, and the final ruling on any decision that happens in any nation, in any event, even to the final stage. We walked into one of our elders who was literally when I walked in, I just knew he had no chance of survival. He was really gone. He was actually gone. I walked in and I saw him in the bed, and doctors didn't give any had very negative impression on what happened. So I just walked in and I touched him and I said, I canceled the power of death. And I said, I'm releasing the spirit of life, and the power of God just came out of me. I literally felt the power of God leave me and just went into it. And the body that was like dead just literally like so forward. So I got a shock actually. And because it was so, the impact was so real, I actually got shocked and I opened my eyes. And then I walked in and I came and I said, Dylan, I said, I literally felt God's power leave me. Just walk into this dead body that's seeming like no life in it. So anyway, we left and went, but I kept on ringing and say, hey, you better check these people out, because I'm pretty sure that fellow is not going, he's coming back. We went and the wife and the children and the family there said, oh, doctor said there's really very little chance of him coming. They have given us a very negative, from the doctor's view. And I just told them, no, they don't have the right say. What is the last say? And I canceled the power of death and called back life. So just wait and see what's going to happen. And a few days later, I said, they called and find out what's going on. And they couldn't believe what happened. Life came back to him. They took him away to the emergency. And just a few days later, he was fully recovered and sent back home. Amen. So God has the final say.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
God has the final say to anything that's happening, even right unto death or sickness or anything happen. God has the final say. Amen. So I thank God for what you are doing as a church, rising and voicing things. We can appeal things in the higher court.
Yes.
It doesn't matter who. I was hearing when we were there, Pastor say, and it just this conversation and just trying to find out things. And I think sex marriage friends and brothers and whatever you can call them, they're very aggressive in their approach. And they're just pushing it like with every force.
Yeah.
And people are afraid to face up to that because they're just dismantling whoever come against them. but you know what? Whatever the kind of force they are, I want to tell you, we are still the most powerful force.
Yes.
Whatever they are, then we has no match to what we carry.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
And we have no match to what is happening.
Yeah.
And so you just need us, you just need the church to rise up.
Yeah.
Just need the church to understand the authority we have in Christ.
Yeah.
We need to understand where our positions are and who we are.
Yeah.
Amen?
And
so all the forces that are rising around the world, in they're coming from different forms. They're coming in different forms, and they want to push their agenda, establish it, make it legal, and then shut us out. But we still can appeal those things and take it to the higher court. Final decision, God will make the final decision. Amen. So I believe that with everything in my heart, and God will have a final say in Australia. And God will bring revival in Australia.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
I believe that. So we are connected with you, and we are one with you. We're standing together, and we believe God is already showing some incredible signs. I was just sharing. I got really inspired after all these negative things that are coming, and then I had the churches got together and prayed, and what seems impossible. Found ourselves that God did a miracle and bring in our prime minister, a born-again prime minister, and put him in it. You know, that to me sent us volumes of it, volumes to me. I said, look, if the church can pray and God dismantle all the mechanics and all the forces that are trying to put their agenda and put their whatever they want to establish and get someone to come into the highest place in this nation, and God dismantles all that and just causes some miracles to happen, and then unexpected things comes up, and here is a man of God, a son of God in the highest place. There's no power here. There's nothing that here in this nation or anywhere in the world that's higher than what God can do. Amen. God will unsettle all these things, and what God has purpose will come to pass. You just need a handful of people who are committed to God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Like this house. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And that's all God needs.
Yep.
God can have a handful of people like that who will turn around nations.
Yeah.
That's why I really believe God's got his hand upon this house. Thank God. We are part of it, so we are so excited.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And we are one with you in what God is doing. And we're so excited of the great things that God is doing to bless this house.
Amen.
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 All right, I better get and try and share some thoughts and inspire you. I wanted to share that because that was really, I was just speaking that in my heart and just help you see what God is doing through this house. Because I can sense things from a national point of view, and even this region already God is doing some things that just last night was just a real blessing. Just to see others, pastors come and join us. All right. God bless. Let's just allow the Lord to speak to us and a few thoughts I want to share with you. And see if I allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us. I want us to open to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The power that that we are able to rise and dismantle forces that are trying to shape a destiny of people and nations and community. We must understand the strength of the enemy, where its strengths are. We must also understand where our strength lies. I think one of the keys that I found that God was empowering me, and I have seen this in the past, but this particular understanding gives an incredible platform for me to stand. And I've seen all forces that just can't stand when we stand and make that begin to declare the things that God. Because what happens is we actually undo the powers of the enemy. Every powers that are working against us, or demonic powers, or those powers, they would have some. Their forces are coming from. They have a source of power that they're using it to oppress or bring about that. And if we understand what the powers they are using, we can easily understand our powers and how to dismantle their powers. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. And so I think there's something that God has helped me to understand. And I find this incredibly powerful at any place, any environment, any situation, doesn't matter where.
Yeah.
But on that platform, everything that's opposing loses its effect. Because everything the enemy is doing, it finds its grounds to work with. And if you dismantle the powers that the enemy is working with,
yeah.
He has no grounds. And he can't be able to stand on that grounds, because everything does becomes illegal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen?
He has grounds in which you are doing, and if you are ignorant, the Bible says, the enemy might take advantage of us because of our ignorance. But when you know what God is doing, we can easily dismantle the powers of darkness.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So what I want to share quickly, just some thoughts and try and establish something that we need to know.
Yeah.
We need to know not just our place, but also know where the enemy is, where the strength of the enemy is.
Yes.
And if you know your place, it's pretty easy to dismantle him.
Yeah.
Very, very easy to dismantle him against forces that are rising,
yeah.
Not in our own personal lives, that affects in all kinds of things, but also corporately as a body against the forces that are rising in the kind of system that we are living in.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Okay, let me see if I can use this passage to share some of those thoughts. Did I say 2 Corinthians? Right. I've gone all over the place. I'll just read a few verses. I read 15, 16, and 17. 15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer." Verse 17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new."
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I actually spent months just sitting on that same passage. Just haven't moved, just stayed on that. Because this verse just brought out some incredible truths that was really able to shift a lot of things. This message, this word God just brought alive and spoke a lot of things. Even to this day, he keeps on speaking to me on this particular verse. This verse brings us some very interesting thoughts, and possibly we'll bring about two or three thoughts in this area, and then we'll let you go home. Verse 15 says, "And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again."
Yeah.
Very interesting. Then verse 16 is really what I want us to maybe major on, because I think in the kind of world we are living in, the environment we are in, this makes such a there's a lot of things that happen in our mind, and we are not around us, and we are not really handling ourselves well if we don't understand this.
Yeah.
It's saying like this. It's saying, verse 16 is saying, therefore, from now on, I want to make it this now on.
Yeah.
Amen. From now on.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know about yesterday and what happened in the past, but from now on. Yeah. We can tell somebody from now on.
From now on.
Let's make it from now on.
Yeah.
Let's make the decision from now on.
Yeah.
This is going to happen from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, so from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. From now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. It's very interesting. I think I better touch something before I explode. Come with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, I think. Second Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 23 says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be presented blamelessly at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may you be whole, spirit, soul, and body. Maybe you'll be made whole, complete, spirit, soul, and body. God's redemptive work is to complete, perfect the spirit man, perfect the soul, and perfect the body before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So the spirit of every man, the spirit of Christ that is in us, if we have accepted Jesus Christ, that spirit, Christ or God, has perfected that spirit. The spirit in you and spirit in me is not something we can do to perfect that. When we accept Christ, that is a perfected spirit.
Yes.
It's a spirit that is perfect in everything.
Yes. Yeah.
So our spirit is already made perfected.
Yes.
Sorry.
This is
So our spirit is perfected in Christ.
Yeah. Yes.
There's nothing we can do to change that.
Yes.
So you know, we there's a prophecy that's coming from Baba Doctor,
yeah.
Where he is saying that we are entering a double decade of open heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And in that double decade of open heaven, one of the features is that the church is gonna grow into sinless age, meaning the sin age is going to come into an end.
Yeah.
Amen? And the sinless age will begin.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how you interpret that, but this is, I sense something very powerful God is doing. Very, very awesome. Very powerful. God has already perfected his spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So when a prophetic voice is coming to us and saying that in this decade of double decade of open heaven, God is going to take his church into the sinless age, end of the sinless age, and then begin sin age into the sinless age, the perfection of the church has already been done.
Yes.
When Christ is in your heart, the Spirit of Christ in you, that Spirit's already been perfected.
Yes.
Amen? The Spirit that is in the other is just perfected. Yes. That Spirit is already righteous. You can't do anything to change that righteousness that is, because the righteousness didn't come from what you did or what we did. It came from our belief in Christ.
Yes.
That righteousness is God's righteousness. It's not our righteousness. And we receive that by faith. It is our righteousness. Amen? Now, I want to just to spend a little bit more time, because that Spirit is an incredible Spirit. And that is the Spirit that God began to show me something very, very powerful. And that's when we understand that, the next stage is the soul man.
Yes.
And that's where our battlefield is right now. So this is what God is empowering the spirit man to grow to the point is going to take this soul man and perfect the soul man. When God perfect the soul man, the sin ages has come to an end. So I want us to understand this, that the perfect man is already here, standing here. You are already a perfect man because of the Christ that is inside of you. Amen? That perfect man is... That spirit in there, in you, is the spirit of a son.
Yes.
Yes. Amen?
Yes.
I actually love to preach on this, but I won't speak about this by God's grace next time, because the spirit of a son, amen? The spirit of a son is actually the spirit of Christ.
Yes.
Yes. Amen? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, because you are a son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Because you are a son, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to share something that might make you need to be ready for this, because when God started speaking to me on this area in the first place, I thought this is heresy. I had a difficult time accepting this until God actually took me through a process of death and resurrection, and then he visited me again. And I said, God, what was that for? And he says, well, because I gave you an assignment, you never completed it. And the assignment was that God took me through something and showed me when I went to the throne, at a 2 weeks encounter in the throne, and one of the encounters I had was when I came to the cross and I saw the crucifixion of the cross. And I said, Lord, I saw you in the cross, but you are risen. Where are you? Where's the risen Christ? And I found myself in a place where there seems like empty room. I said, where am I? And as I was looking around, I felt very funny, because I knew that something was there, but I couldn't work out what it was. And I said, Lord, where are you? As I was saying, where are you? Something very interesting happened. I saw the Lord actually step out of me. He stepped out of me and he went about a distance and stood there for a while. I saw him. I said, you mean to say you were with me? And as I was talking, he came back again and just took everything and said, just disappeared. And I said, what? Are you mean to say you are me? And then he walked out again. Then he walked in again. He walked out again. He walked out. He did this for several times. And when he did this several times, I was in fact lost, and suddenly I found myself back again. And the Lord said to me, I want you to go and read the scriptures. And I says, when you read, I want you to go through the scriptures and start from the book of John and read it this way. When you read, and every time you see my name, put yourself in there. And I went into it, I did that. Because of the impact that has taken place in me, I found that was just too weird. I said, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I can't do this. This doesn't make sense. In fact, I got scared and I closed the book and never went back again. Until the experiences of my experience of going through a process of death and God restoring me and healing me completely. I'm sitting in the room and I said, okay, Lord, what was that all for? What was all that joke? What was that fun for? And then the Lord came back and started to minister to me on that very thing again. And he said to me, this is what I wanted you to do, and you had never done it many years ago. And I want you to touch this, because this is going to be the final touch of the church. It's going to take church to the completion. Amen? And so he began to minister to me on this. Now, I'm going to use this little illustration, and I don't want to spend time. I spend a lot of time on this, but I'm just going to do a very little illustration and help you see something. Please get ready. It might you might agree, you might not agree, but God bless you. Whatever. Okay, have you got a bucket somewhere? Or some kind of bucket? I just need to do a little illustration. Maybe just a cup will do. Can I just have a cup? It's okay, just a cup. I could just talk in it, but I thought that's actually something. Now, supposing I put a red dye or cloth in it.
Yeah.
In this cup. If I had a red dye in this in a cup here, okay. So supposing to say that the liquid here is red.
Yeah.
You there? Yep. And it's a dye, and I have a white cloth here. And I will drop this into the dye.
Yeah.
There?
Yeah.
So if I brought it up, what would the color of this?
Red.
What would it be?
Red.
Red. Now, here is what I want you to help understand, because I try to explain this to many people. Unless God give you the revelation, it will be difficult for you to grasp it, like it happened to me for a long time until God began to visit me in this way. See, the dye is red, and when you are baptized into it, and what comes out is what is in here.
Yeah. Amen?
He says, because you're a son, God sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart.
Yeah.
Amen? Or the Romans chapter 8 says, you were baptized into his death.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You were baptized into his death. Or don't you know that you have been baptized into his death, amen?
Amen?
And just like as Christ has risen from the dead, you are one with him in death, and you are one with him in his resurrection.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So Christ has become one with us,
yes.
And when he became one with us,
yes.
We were in the place of death, so he became death.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Okay, so supposing if you are black cloth here, Jesus came into death and became that black cloth.
Yes.
Whatever it was,
yes.
That's what Jesus became.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Because he became you, he became whatever you wore.
Yes.
Whatever you wore, sickness, he became sickness. Sin, he became sin.
Yes.
Death, he became death.
Yes.
Curse, he became curse.
Yes.
Whatever it was, Jesus became death.
Yes.
So when Jesus became death, Bible also says, but because you were one with him in death, you were one with him in resurrection.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So what happened is that because you were one with him, Jesus went in and you were black, he became black. And then when he rose, he is red, so you became red.
Yes. Yes.
You were one with whatever he was, that's what you became.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
He is the spirit of a son, and that spirit has become you.
Yes.
Your life, in fact, the spirit inside of you is the spirit of a son.
Yes.
The scripture continues to say, as is, so are you.
Yeah.
The Bible also tells us that he that is joined to Christ, they are one. Now, if you understand, Jesus kept on preaching the message. He says, I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
When he was living, he said, Father, I have given the word to them, that they may be one as we are
one.
So the very spirit of Christ in you, the very spirit of Christ in you, he has made whatever Christ is, that's what that spirit is inside of you.
Yes.
And it's a perfect spirit.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So God has perfected the spirit man.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Now, this is not your mind. This is not what we are doing. This is God's doing. God did something that is incredible. And the spirit of Christ in you is you. Because that's Christ, all right? The dye is Christ. When he placed, when you're in it, you came out. So whatever Christ is, that's what you are.
Yes. Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Paul says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself with me. So the Spirit of Christ in you is the Spirit that is one in the power of resurrection.
Amen?
Amen? Yeah. That Spirit conquered hell.
Yes.
That Spirit conquered death.
Yes.
That Spirit conquered sickness.
Yes.
That Spirit conquered sin, sickness, curse.
Yes.
It conquered anything. Everything that man brought man to the bondage, that Spirit conquered and rose triumphantly. So that Spirit is not just a son, but it's a Spirit of resurrection inside of you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
The power that raised Christ from the dead, that power is inside of you.
Yes.
It's inside of me. Amen? And so our faith must be based in the knowing of this person that is inside of you. So I don't depend on all the resources, my knowledge, my everything. If you put your faith in the Son that is inside of you, that is just as Christ is, so that is Spirit inside of you. Amen? You are one with Him. That's what it is. Your spirit is unbeatable. I said, that Spirit is unbeatable. It cannot be beaten. And it's impossible to be beaten. Hell couldn't hold him. Death couldn't hold him. Sickness couldn't hold him. Nothing could hold that Spirit. It broke every and rose up a triumphantly. Alive today. That's why we are here. That Spirit is inside of you. It's a conquering Spirit. Tell somebody it's a conquering Spirit. It is a conquering Spirit. And can I tell you? That Spirit conquers the conqueror. Because your spirit is more than a conqueror. Tell somebody, you are more than a conqueror. So every force that are conquering, that spirit inside is more than that conqueror. The conquering spirit is conquered by the spirit that is inside of you. Every sickness that are taking you, your spirit inside of you is more than the conqueror. The powers of sickness, the power of death, the power of hell, every spirit that is inside, your spirit will conquer every part of that. It's a conquering spirit. Tell somebody it's a conquering spirit. It's a conquering spirit. It's a spirit that cannot be defeated by death, by hell, by any force that's been thrown at mankind. It cannot, because that spirit will live forever. It's a conquering spirit. It's more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That spirit is greater than that is in the world. Amen? So that spirit is one with you. You need, I need to build our faith. Apart from all our witnesses, you can look at our witnesses. We can look at our limitations. But there's a spirit in you that is a spirit of Christ.
Yeah.
I said, that's a spirit of Christ.
Yeah.
I find great strength just beginning to put my faith in that spirit, in that life, and find that identity in me.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Find your true sense of identity. Against all odds, learn to put your trust in the Spirit of Christ that's inside of you. Amen? Learn to put your identity in the Spirit of Christ that is inside of you. I am telling you that your life and your journey will be an adventurous, because that Spirit of Christ is the Spirit that wants to manifest in this body. Amen? It wants to manifest in this body. It wants to transform the soul man, and it wants to transform this physical body and turn this body from mortal to immortality. Its objective is to turn this body from mortal, from decaying, to become an immortal body. Amen. Amen. And so that spirit is alive, it's working in our lives to resurrect us. Now, we must also understand, where is the enemy taking his strength from? Because we are confronted in a system that is pushing against to the final destination of every force of darkness is to bring death.
Yeah.
Every force, anything that's coming against you is really to bring death upon your life.
Yeah.
Curse, the systems of this world, its final destination is to bring death.
Yeah.
That's why I believe the message of the spirit of this power, resurrection, is a power that's going to push against the forces of death and conquer the power of death. Conquer the things that are coming against us. That spirit is inside of you that will make you rise up against every forces that are thrown at you.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
The spirit of resurrection is a powerful, awesome spirit that is inside of you. The scripture says, that Ephesians chapter 1 verse 19 says that the power in you is unstoppable, unlimited power that is the same kind of power that raised Christ from the dead.
Yes.
The one that raised Christ from the dead, that power is inside of you.
Yes.
Amen. I said last time, I want to say, so you in you is the dead raising power.
Come on.
I said, there is inside of you, dead raising power.
Yes.
The spirit of resurrection is a spirit that resurrect anything, everything thrown at you.
Yeah.
They want to bring death upon you. That spirit will bring life back into the place. Amen.
Amen.
That power is at work in you, in every one of us. Now, here is the enemy. I shared in Thessalonians, God perfected the spirit, and he will perfect the soul, and he will perfect the body before the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I believe that the spirit man has been already completed in Christ. When we accept Jesus, we have a spirit that is perfected in Christ. It's blameless, it's pure, it's holy. Amen? The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 1, chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, 22 and 23, says, put off the old man, which grows corruptions, and put on the new man, by the renewing of your mind, and put on the true men, the true righteous and holiness.
Yes.
Amen? And so the responsibility to outwork that life inside of you is us.
Yes.
The challenge we face is, and the strength of the enemy is where the soul man comes from.
Yeah,
amen? Bible tells us the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are what? Mighty through God in pulling down strongholds.
Yeah.
Amen? Casting down every imagination, everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing them into obedience. Amen. So our stronghold, where enemy works, is from the soul realm. That is where how our mind has been programmed, the paradigm of our thinking, how we are living in the society. That's what the enemy is using to hit us and begin to try to reduce the impact of the power of resurrected life in you and in me. Amen? So the scripture we just read says something that's very interesting that I want to just share with you quickly. It says, Christ died for all, so those who are alive should not live for themselves, but live for the one who died and rose from the dead. Amen? And then he says, therefore, regard no one according to the flesh. The danger of the enemy in which how is continuing to dismantle or shut down the power of Christ breaking out in our life is because it's projecting things. The system we live in, the media that's coming, information surrounding us, everything is being pushed to bring death. And if we consider, this says, therefore, consider no one according to the flesh.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how we perceive things in life.
Yeah.
Wow. It's interesting in the kind of environment, in the society we are living, how we perceive things in life, how we see things in life. When this scripture is telling you, regard nothing in the flesh, but we, because if we don't renew our mind to what he's saying, our perception is always seeing things according to the flesh. Are you there? Now, why is God telling us not to perceive things in the flesh? There's some very powerful reasons why God's telling you not, and I not to regard anything according to the flesh. I don't have time, so I'm just going to rush quickly and just tell you. When the Bible speaks of a carnal man, a carnal man is a man that has not got saved yet, all right? He's still unsaved, all right? But when it talks about, natural man. When it says natural man, he's talking about a man who has not been saved yet. He's still unsaved. But when the Bible talks about a carnal man or flesh mind, it's talking about a man who got Christ in it, but hasn't renewed his mind and is still babe.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
He's still a babe. He hasn't matured yet.
Yeah.
So he's thinking more carnally, or he's thinking fleshly.
Yeah.
All right? I don't want to spend time, just want to enlighten that understanding before we look at this.
Yeah.
So he's telling us, this is speaking to Christians. This is speaking to people who got Christ in them.
Yeah.
Amen? He's saying to us, Christ died for us, and so those who are alive should not what? Live for ourselves, but live for Christ, or live for that life in us. We should live in that, as Paul said, it's no longer I that live it, but Christ lives in me. Amen?
Yeah.
And then he's saying that those of us are living should live, not live to ourselves, but live for Christ who died and rose from the dead.
Yes.
Then he tells us, therefore regard no one according to the flesh. Now, how many of you can look and see people in according to the flesh? Because if I can look in the flesh, I can see a lot of wrong stuff.
Yeah.
I can really see many wrong stuff. I can see him and say, well, that brother is okay, but you know, like, he's like this, like this, like this, like this. And then I can say, well, he's like that, but he's like that. What am I looking at?
Yeah.
I'm looking at flesh.
Yes.
But Bible is telling me, do not look anyone according to the flesh. Don't consider nobody in that manner. Don't see somebody in that manner. Now, if you look at God, God never ever look at you that way.
Yeah.
God never look at you that way.
Yeah.
Read Ephesians chapter 1. He is 24 hours eulogizing you in Christ Jesus. He has got nothing in you. You tell him about anything we are doing wrong, he says, what are you talking about? I don't see him in that manner. I see him in my son.
Yes.
And in my son, he is perfected.
Yes.
Amen. So God is all the time speaking, exalting, highly of every one of us that's sitting down here. God has never looked at us in state of sin. He never see that. He always see you in Christ Jesus.
Yes, yes.
He's always exalting you. He sees you are the best.
Yes, yes.
You are the man of the hour. You, God made you. God has a confidence, has a faith in you. He knows what he has planted. He is able to change and transform the city and touch this nation. So he sees that way. He never see you in the way when we look at it. But when we look at it, we see from a human point of view. We look at people and we say, yeah, he's okay, but you know, he's like this and he's like that. And we continue. You know, God saved me from a lot of trouble by looking at things like that.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're in a place, people are ringing and telling all their problems. They're telling, oh, Baba, this person is sick. Oh, Baba, this didn't happen. Oh, and how many of you know, every time you hear something like that, it just quenches something inside you. It just sucks you out. It just challenges everything you are.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
It just dismantles the power that is within you. You're on fire and until some bad information has got into your mind. And it just shuts all of that. It just takes away all that excitement, all that fire, all that peace inside of you is removed.
Yes.
Because you had something or you saw something from the flesh point of view. The whole world we are living is like that.
Yeah, yeah.
The media,
yeah, yeah.
I mean, they're everywhere. There's information they're dispersing. Why do you think the devil is writing on the informations? The people who are pushing the devil's agenda are writing on informations.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
The Bible is very clear. It says, as a man thinks, that's what he becomes.
Yeah.
So they know that if we can get the way of our thinking, they'll get us under its subject.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And so he is pushing it that way.
Yeah.
How we're seeing things, how we're hearing things. He's telling us, don't consider anything according to the flesh. So if I'm not supposed to regard anybody in the flesh, what am I supposed to do? Why is he telling us not to? There are very, very important things why God is telling us not to consider this in the flesh. Because the moment I look at somebody and I consider him in the flesh, what I've just done is I've denied the cross.
Yeah.
Yes. I literally deny what Christ has done.
Yeah.
If I see John and I'm seeing John in a funny way and I'm looking at everything that bad about John, I actually denied the cross.
Yeah.
Because the next verse it says, Christ died for all.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? That's including you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's including the man, that person that you are looking at.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen? So when you're looking at that person that way, you are actually denying Christ's death for that person. And I'm denying that. And when we deny that, it's an act of unbelief. It's an act of unbelief that Christ didn't die for us. You know, we can look at the city and we can look at the way the world is carrying on, and we will see in that what the devil wants us to see is Australia is hard to reach. These people don't want to respond to the gospel. And she's right, man, like that.
Yeah.
Are you there? So he wants us to see it that way. And when we do that, we deny the power of the cross.
Yes.
We deny the power of the cross. And by doing that, the scripture tells us in the verse after that, it says, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this world blinds the mind of those who do not believe. Because what he does is he's trying to place a unbelief in us. By us looking at people in according to flesh, we actually deny the cross and we are not believing that Christ died for them. And so the enemy can use that to blind us. To see what Christ, because the spirit of Christ is one to manifest in the flesh. It's the spirit of Antichrist that doesn't want the Christ to be revealed in our lives. Every force that's coming is a spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit of error that's trying to shut down from Christ revealing our lives, to manifest Christ in this church, in this church or in our lives. Amen? So that he is projecting that way. So he's constantly projecting a negative outlook of people, situations that are coming. And he wants us to see it this way. So if we can see this way, we deny Christ. And not only does we are denying the power of Christ, or power of the cross, but he blinds us from the light of the revealing of Christ manifested in the situation. So how should I look at whatever I'm looking at? How should I look at, supposing if I saw John and maybe the situation for him would be worsened? Say, for example, sickness. That is obviously severe. And it's easily to see that and say that, wow, you know, can this make it? Can he make it? He's not going to make it. So we've seen that from my fleshly world. And so we are seeing it that way. But he's telling us not to see that way. So if we don't see that way, how am I supposed to see? Amen? How am I supposed to that? If I'm not supposed to see that person that way, what am I supposed to see? You see, he wants you and I to see. This is what I was going to get at, because this is where the enemy's power is undone. He actually loses his grip on people's life. When you stop and I stop looking at things and people according to the flesh, and I look at something that is wrong, that seems to be curse or sickness or sin or whatever. But when you look at that, and instead of seeing the thing, you see Christ in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why? Because Christ became that.
Yes. Yes.
Christ became the sickness. Yes. He became the curse. He became the sin. He became what you see wrong. That's what he became.
Yes.
When he went to the cross, that's what he became. He became one with them.
Yes.
So when you see that way, then the power that the enemy wants you to give him, when you see this one, you actually are giving power to the enemy.
Yeah.
So he can take a hold of that situation. He can make the situation worse. But when you see that person in Christ, when you see that Christ became that.
Yeah.
So when you see that person or situation in Christ, suddenly that power that's trying you to give him that power loses its grip.
Wow.
Because the moment you see that in Christ, Satan has no power to hold that thing when Christ becomes and identifies with that situation or with the sickness. Hallelujah. Amen. With the sickness. I mean, the sickness can be very serious, but when you see the person in Christ, instead of sickness, while doctors can give their reports, you walk in and instead of seeing what the doctor is saying, you see Christ, you have become this sin. You have become this person. And when you see that way, the power of grip in that thing loses its authority. Spiritually, I'm telling you, the power of that sickness or whatever breaks when you see Christ in them. Because Christ went to the cross, as I was saying, he identified and he went to death, hell, and sin and sickness lost his grip and he rose from the dead. That spirit is inside of you and that spirit wants to manifest. Hallelujah. He wants to manifest in the situation that you are facing. The manifest, that opportunity that coming is that power inside of you want to manifest in that. Amen. The spirit in you is a conquering spirit. When you begin to see that way, Christ, the authority of the sickness or negative forces that are trying to hold you, has no ground. Legally, they don't have a ground to stay in there. They don't have the power, they don't have the legal ground to stay when Christ becomes that thing. When you see it that way, when your mind is renewed from beginning to see in a person the way the devil wants you to see and start seeing how Christ wants to see. You see, our mind renews, our mind changes when you stop seeing things according to the flesh and begin to see Christ. Our mind shifts from the way the enemy wants to see to Christ's mind. Your spirit mind. You're actually tapping into a spirit mind. And when you tap into spirit mind, you will be surprised. God begins to, Holy Ghost begins to take over that. Because the spirit mind knows all things. You're actually tapping into Christ's mind. So that mind knows all things. You've been imagining the supernatural things begin to come through. The understanding that God will speak to you in the situation. God will just prompt you straight away. You just know what to do. Because you are not shut down, you are not blind by the negative and the enemy is using that to close you. You have now removed that and put on Christ's mind upon you. So Christ's man, so the spirit man finds us, the soul man is renewed. Amen? The soul man is renewed. So soul man is aligning himself to the spirit man. You have already got the healing inside of you. You've got anointing inside of you. You are already, Christ in you has already completed his job. Amen? I was sharing with many times you are waiting saying, well, God will do this. God will do this. God, no. God has already done that.
That's right.
God will provide us. God will, no, God has already provided. Yeah. God will, God has already healed.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
So so I was using the example of, now I'm talking to a mic, it's going through and it's amplifying to the speakers. All right, there's a frequency that's coming through. If you put a television here, the frequency is already here. You just turn the television on and align it, and what is here already will manifest. Amen? So God's power, God's life is already inside of us. It's already here. God to heal is already here. That is not going to happen. It's already done. 2,000 years ago, God completed that. Amen? So it's us who align ourselves. Just like a tuning in the television to get the frequency right so that it will broadcast through you. God's power will flow through you when you align yourself. So number one, you need to have that spirit man corrected right, that you are Christ man inside. Amen. That's a complete man inside. Amen. Number two, that power is about to flow out through you, but this mind has to be changed from a carnal man or flesh man to a spirit mind. Amen. To a spirit mind. So what is there will flow out. The power inside will flow out of you. The dimension will break out inside of your life. Amen? So how do I look at that situation? I need to look and see Christ in the situation. Everything I see, I must see. Yeah, okay, the difficulties are coming. Misunderstanding is there. I don't know how the situation are facing. But if you step back and instead of looking at that and seeing the negative impact of the challenges that are facing you, you see Christ in that place. And you begin to pray because you are seeing Christ in that situation. Amen. You begin to pray in that scene. I'll tell you what, as you begin to do, the power within you will begin to well up and will begin to bring forth things that you haven't even thought about it. God will begin to reveal things in your mind like you never saw before. Amen.
Yeah.
And so Christ will begin to reveal. The moment that happens, that dimension becomes illegal. You will find Holy Spirit is already in that place before you even found it. When you change your mind, that situation is arrested by the Holy Spirit straight away.
Yes.
Because Holy Spirit is always in any situation that's decaying.
Yes. Yes.
That's everything that's going wrong. Holy Spirit is always in that place, waiting for manifestation. Because what you are touching gives that legal platform. I find myself in many, many places, not just in a church scenario, just speaking to the heavens, speaking to an entire region. I just get up and speak into a region. But I challenge every one of them. I know what I'm talking about. I know the situation that is rising. I know because when I address them, I know and I challenge them. Everyone, they lose their legal rights. What I'm saying becomes the last and the most powerful authority released. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye make disciples of all nations. So I'm speaking things that I know the powers that will dismantle itself. Why? Because I'm speaking from a place of authority. Amen. When I speak to a sickness, I know, I told everybody that the entire diseases or whatever, they are subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. The name of Jesus Christ. So I just tell the devil, shut down, death, cancel, come back to life again. Amen. Get ready, miracles are going to take place. Amen. Get ready, I'm already getting fired up for miracles to happen. Amen. So there's an incredible power inside of you to unleash itself. Well, it's not what is inside of you, because God has already done that. What he needs is our mind to tune in. The soul man to change from how we see situation to how God sees it. So he says, regard no one according to the flesh. Don't see it from the flesh. See Christ in that situation. I don't care, whatever. It's amazing when you do that. It's really amazing. The moment, I get people calling, I'm not even expecting that people calling, and your mind can switch on to, oh no, you know, it's going negative and you're already panicking because you're looking in the negative aspect. Or you can look at that in any form of, situation, financial or whatever. But the moment you change your mind and stop looking that way and see Christ in that, amen? Yeah. It's amazing what happens into you. Yeah. You're just confident. You just know.
Yes.
You just know Christ is overtaking that.
Yeah.
You know you're not your life. You're Christ's life.
Yeah.
What happens to you? God, it becomes a God's concern. It's not your life. Pastor say he had many happened to lose his purse, which the first time he did. He came and I said, "My brother, you are not yours. You are God's property. That purse may be your property, but you are God's property. So everything that you own, it's belong to God."
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And so whatever the enemy starts is going to come back.
That's right.
It's going to return to you 100-fold. Amen?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
And so you're not living our life on your own. This is God, this is Christ's life you are living.
Yes.
It's not your life. When we tempt ourselves, obviously we hit against the walls and against the bricks and we get bruises and all kinds of stuff because we're pushing things on our own.
Mm.
But there is a power that is inside of you that want to live out through you. And the best way to do is to change or renew your mind. Renew your mind and see their challenges and see Christ in their challenge.
Yes.
Whatever it is, see Christ in that. You'll be amazed at life that flows out of you. The Bible says to be carnal mind is dead, but to be spiritual mind is what?
Life
and peace. Imagine what happens when you change your mind to become look at Christ in you. Looking at the situation and seeing Christ is the most easiest way of renewing your mind, of changing your mind, you're changing the paradigm of the way you're thinking, and you begin to see like the way Christ sees things in the situations you are facing in life. It is incredible because not just God will help you to see, but God will give you what you think eventually becomes the way you act, the way you thought. I shared there that with our beliefs, we are able to touch spiritual realities. But when our spiritual reality we see, the way to bring the spiritual reality we see to the physical manifesting is to speak.
Yes.
Amen? Is to speak. So it's another thing for me to see something, but it's another thing for me to take that and say it.
Yes.
Say what I'm seeing, what I'm seeing, instead of the groaning and moaning over what issues that came up. No, see that in Christ. Christ has become that. That thing has lost its legal impact in that. So in my curse, I can in sin you can see Christ's righteousness. So you can say, he became sin so I might become the righteousness of Christ. He became sickness so that I may be healed. Amen. He became poor so I may be made rich. Amen. So you speak the word of God. The word of God is in your mouth. When you begin to your mind, your spirit, and your mind is focused. And when you start confessing, I can assure you, you are going to see miracles manifesting when you say words. When you begin to speak into the situation, you see miracles begin to take place. Amen?
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 Amen.
So there can be breakthroughs coming upon your life. You can see things The enemy is using this technology of media to flash in all the junk into us. In fact, I was saying, you know, he is just putting the sewage right into us. The sewage of the world is being pumped into our heads. And we are just not being careful in allowing all these junks coming into our head. We need to defend ourselves and get our mind renewed. And we not look consider these things that are coming in the flesh. Amen. Because they bring death. Amen. To be carnal mind is death, but to be spiritual mind is life and means. So I believe when the mind is renewed, then you will see the dynamics that God has already in your heart will start manifesting. There'll be something awesome breaking out in your life. The situations will turn. God will turn the things around the other way. The trouble we are having in the churches everywhere, Christians, is because we are having the problem with this mind. We are having difficulties in renewing that mind, changing that mind. From seeing the perceptions and our cultures and the way we live are all because of our way we think and the environment we live in. But when you begin to think Christ one, you begin to see the kingdom culture and kingdom kingdom values begin to precede every other cultures that we have. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to just pray because I believe God wants to touch people here. And I believe God wants to bring some, he's going to do miracles here. People, if you believe with me on this path, God will touch you, God will heal you, God will deliver you. Your breakthrough is here. Amen. Your breakthrough is here. Amen. So I'm already seeing God's breakthrough in your life. I've seen God starts upon your life. God's doing some incredible things in your life. So I want to just inspire and encourage you. Amen. And to rise up. And this is not something that God did not do. God already done that. I mean, if we need healing, God has already healed us. I know our pain there. Yes, the pain wants to tell you that information, but God has healed you. You can tell pain. Amen. I was just sharing about how God told Ezekiel. He says, can this dry bone sleep? And said, God, you know. Then he said, speak to the dry bones. Tell the dry bones to hear my word first. Tell the dry bones to hear my word. Sometimes you need to tell the pain, you hear God's word, huh? Yes, amen. You tell money, hear God's word. Yes. Amen. Tell the pressure, you hear God's word. Yes. I'm going to speak God's word, hear God's word. Yes. I'm telling you, everything that you are talking to will hear God's word. Yes. Amen? Yes. Amen? Yes. So you know, those things can keep on talking to you, but tell them you're going to hear God's word. Yes. Amen. And you can speak to God's word because they will come alive. They're going to get healed. They're going to get delivered when you speak to the situation. It's not a thing to believe, but it's not a thing to speak. The faith is in your heart and is in your mouth. Amen. The faith is in your heart. The believing in your heart touches the dimensions of the spirit. It sees the things in the spirit. You see, you notice the man of God, Papa Jonathan, when he comes, he speaks in the prophesies in the atmosphere and it's amazing things happen. When your spirit is developed and when you start seeing things in the spirit, what it needs is you to need to learn to speak. When you speak, something begins to shift and change. God's given us an incredible grace and understanding on that realm, and we just speak and things are beginning to shift and change. So I want you to get ready because when I speak, things are going to come to place. Amen?